But first, let me just say good morning. I'm Chuck. It's good to see everybody. Good morning. And we are in this series, Everyday Friends. And before I talk about encouragement, I need to give a little bit of encouragement because last week, and particularly I think for this service, we ask people to step up and serve. We need people to continually lead folks into kind of just a hospitable place by volunteering for our First Impressions team, whether that's holding doors or parking cars. And we need people to step up and do Kids Club. And last week, we made a big request for people to volunteer, and some people showed up big. 380-plus people said, I'll step in and I'll serve. So encouragement to you for taking that step. Way to get it done. That's how things happen around here. It happens when volunteers step up. So way to go. Really excited about that. And as we talk about friendship, I just know for me, serving was an incredible conduit into friendships for me at Crossroads. Continues to be. And so I just encourage you to think about that. It was really cool and just applaud those who stepped up. So we're going to be talking about encouragement today. And before we go any further, I'd just like to pray for our time. So God, I thank you for how you use every element, every creative element to communicate. I want to thank you for giving Katy Perry lyrics to a song that fits perfectly with the topic of encouragement. And God, you can use anything and you can use anybody. And so I just pray that today, as we talk about encouragement, you would take these simple words that I'm sharing and you would amplify them because they're your words. Amplify them in our lives, amplify them in our friendships in a way that matters, in a way that's meaningful. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to do a quick experiment. We'll come back to this later, but I don't know where you are in terms of prayer or hearing from God, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask that in the 30-plus minutes that we have left, that God would give you a name, maybe an image of a person that you can apply this encouragement message to, that he would just do that for you. And I'll come back to that in a minute. But we are talking about everyday friends in this series. And what we're really saying is, you know, it's easy to have casual drinking buddy friendships. It's easy to kind of just have surface level friendships and not necessarily get deep. But what we're called to and what we want to really explore in this series is, what does it look like to have everyday friends, the kind of friends that you can talk to about everything every day? That's what we're exploring, because those kinds of friendships are rare. Friends of mine moved from California, and they were picking a city to move to, and they just picked Cincinnati on a map, and they came to Cincinnati. And the husband said to his wife, he said, hey, I know we'll be fine in Cincinnati if you can just find one everyday friend. Just one everyday friend. And as they came to Cincinnati and got in relationships around here, that happened. And so he said, hey, I know we're good. We're going to be here for a long time because you've got that everyday friend. These are rare friendships. The depth that we're talking about is rare. It's easy to have everyday jesters in our lives. These have friends who it's all about entertainment, they make us laugh, it's funny, it's surface. It's easy to have everyday jesters in our life. And I think some of us would even say we might have everyday Eeyore friends in our lives, if we're honest. You know, and hey, I've been an Eeyore friend. I might be going through a difficult period. I'm not talking about never needing to lean into your friends, but it's the people where you do this. You know, if you have an iPhone, like I have an iPhone, you know, there are two responses when I look at caller ID on iPhone. Sometimes a friend calls and I go, oh, and I answer the call. And then there are other times when a friend may call and I'm like, All right, let me think. Do I have the capacity right now to deal with this person's computer? And then you're so happy for the skip call button and just put that to voicemail. And so I'm ready to call and handle. So, I mean, we have that. It's easy to have those kinds of friends. But what we're talking about, particularly today, is what does it look like to have a friend who's an everyday encourager? Someone who deals in faith and hope in our lives, and they give that to us constantly. That's what we're talking about. And for me, encouragement has recently been redefined as I think about it through the lens of what I see in the Bible. So much so that I want to use a working definition for our conversation today, and it's this. Encouragement is the spiritual act of unleashing a friend's potential. The spiritual act of unleashing a friend's potential. Because when I look in the Bible and see encouragement, encouragement is always toward a specific target. And the target is helping our friends understand who God sees them as and helping them live into the life that God has for them. So that's always the target of encouragement. So it helps me to kind of redefine things with words. But where this really got redefined for me is a few years ago when I saw a story on ESPN Outside the Lines. It's a show on ESPN where sports is a part of the story, but they're going after something that really transcends what happens on the athletic field. And it was there a couple years ago that I saw a moving story about two high school wrestlers in Cleveland and their friendship. And I just think it's a beautiful picture of encouragement. So I want you guys to check it out. But man, I saw it the first time and I was on my couch bawling. And it's because there's a beautiful picture there of friendship, a beautiful picture of encouragement, to watch D'Artagnan carry Leroy, to watch Leroy at the end of the mat encouraging his friend at every match. We need to expand the power that we have when we know about this word encouragement. Encouragement is a powerful spiritual thing. It is deeply powerful and transformational in a friendship. I think that's why all throughout the Bible, we are encouraged to do that. We're encouraged to encourage each other. Let me just show you a couple places where this shows up. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is a letter to the early communities of followers of Jesus. And he's saying in their friendships, encourage one another. In Hebrews, it says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And later on in the same letter, it says, let us not give up meeting together. Let's not give up doing life together, being in community together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Here's the fascinating thing that really plays out in these passages. God clearly is pro-encouragement. This is just three of several places in the Bible where, in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it is written that we're supposed to encourage each other. But here's the powerful thing. God is pro-encouragement, but he relies on you. And he relies on me to give voice to the encouragement he wants people to hear. He relies on us to do it in our friendships, to encourage each other. So how do we do this? How can we be everyday encouragers? Last week, Brian talked about Paul, and Paul is perhaps one of the greatest historical figures in the movement of Jesus called the church. And the reason for that is this dude was prolific. After he had an experience of Jesus, he had a prolific impact on the early church. Paul wrote 2/3 of what we capture as the New Testament of the Bible today. So his words have lived on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And also, in his time, Paul was responsible for the primarily responsible for the spread of the good news of Jesus to almost everywhere in the Roman Empire at that time. So Paul was a prolific guy in this story of God and in the story of Jesus, but he was the most unlikely candidate for it. Because before Paul was on the Jesus team, before he was pro-Jesus, his commission and his whole mission in life was the systemic eradication of the church, systemically eradicating anybody who identified with Jesus as the Messiah. So Paul would go from city to city. Before this, he'd go from city to city, but he wasn't there to spread good news. He was there to, whether it be by intimidation, whether it be by torture, or even if it took death, to eliminate this movement that started after Jesus rose from the dead. So Paul was very, very much anti-Jesus until he had a personal encounter with Jesus on a road called Damascus. He had an encounter with Jesus and transformed his life, deeply, deeply changed his life. And I want to give you some context for the power of this kind of transformation, what this meant in that society, because Paul was well known for what he did. He was influential. He was a leader. People knew he was very much against this Jesus thing. So it would be like Osama bin Laden deciding that he was pro-America. Pro-America, wanting to come on a boat, go through Ellis Island, go to the Statue of Liberty, take the oath of citizenship, and every day as he woke up for his morning prayers, playing on his iPod was, I'm proud to be an American. It was that kind of radical transition. It would be like if at the very first press conference for the Bengals, Mike Brown introduced a general manager to the team. I mean, it would be incredible, this radical, it's football season, so they're coming. We're back. But we are undefeated, which is pretty cool. So I'm excited about that too. But this is a radical transition. So Paul's change was so profound. you might imagine some people were kind of skeptical about it. Some people didn't know if they should believe it. And so I want to submit to you that Paul would not have had, even with this profound experience of Jesus, he would not have had, in my opinion, the effect he had on the early church had it not been for an everyday encourager, an everyday friend in his life, a guy named Joseph, who shows up early in the story of the church in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 4, it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles, the leaders of the early church, called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. All we know about this guy, Joseph, is that he too had a transforming experience with Jesus, caused him to be a generous man. He gave some money away to kind of fuel the movement of what Jesus started. And he was so good at this thing of encouragement that he actually got the nickname Captain Encouragement. Captain Encouragement, the son of encouragement. And this guy gets involved in the life of Paul, and I think this was a turning point in Paul. To have an everyday friend who encouraged him this way was a turning point. So we can go to school on Barnabas to understand what does it look like to be this kind of encourager. In the first place, we see Barnabas kind of intersecting with Paul is a little bit later in the story. Again, people were skeptical. People weren't sure what to think about Paul. And so in Acts chapter 9, we see kind of a snippet of one of the things that Barnabas did. It's what every good encourager does. In Acts chapter 9, it says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Paul on his journey had seen the Lord, had seen Jesus, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So what Barnabas is demonstrating here is something that is true for encouragers. People who know how to encourage other people, they're willing to go to bat for their friends. What Barnabas is doing here is he's going to bat for his friend. Now the interesting thing is he had to do this at risk to himself. He's risking his reputation here. He's absolutely risking his reputation. He was well thought of. He got the nickname Captain Encouragement from the leaders of the church, so they knew who he was. And they were skeptical. These leaders were skeptical about Paul. And Barnabas, at risk to his own reputation, says, hey, I believe in this guy. I believe in this guy. I believe something happened in his life when he experienced Jesus, and he's been preaching the name of Jesus, and he's been pro-Jesus. We need to support this guy. Barnabas really models what it looks like to go to bat for your friends, and this is what encouragers do. I know something about this because people have gone to bat for me in my life. In fact, one of my friends went to bat for me, and it's the reason I believe that I'm on staff today at Crossroads. See, 4 years ago, when I was in conversations about coming on staff yet again. I'd had several of those conversations in my life. But when I was doing it 4 years ago, there were some very legitimate concerns about whether that was a good idea for Crossroads. Because 4 years previous to that, in a different kind of transition of potentially coming on staff, the fact that I had a sexual addiction I hadn't told anybody about had come out. And so 4 years later, it's like, yeah, we love Chuck. We see things in him. But where is he? How healthy is he? Is this something that we should take a risk on? Particularly because he's going to be communicating in front of people. And so what would happen if there was a relapse? And all of that was real concerns. Let me be very clear. I am loved around here. There's grace for me around here. I'm not saying anybody around here doesn't trust or anything like that. However, I know that was a wise conversation to have. And I know that there was a particular friend of mine who said, I believe in Chuck. And I'm going to go to bat for him. I think this is good. Yeah, there's growth in his life. There's growth yet to happen, but I believe in this guy. And so that was my experience of someone going to bat for me. And when people go to bat for their friends this way, they're really modeling the best definition for love I've ever heard, which is that love is ascribing worth to another person at cost to yourself. And when someone is going to bat for you, that's exactly what they're doing. And everyday encouragers do that. Barnabas did this for Paul. Because he had a deep belief, and his deep belief was this: encouragers believe in the power of transformation in their friends. They believe in the transforming power of God, and Barnabas was willing to go to bat for Paul, and he was willing to encourage Paul because he had a deep belief that his friend could change, a deep belief that if Jesus had had this encounter with Paul, then everything could be different. He had a deep belief in the transforming power of God. I like to say it this way. Encouragers who have this belief in your life know how to look for the good in you and mine it like gold. They know how to look for the good in you and mine it like gold. They see a you that you might not even see yet. They see a potential for you that you might not even grasp yet. And they're constantly, through their words and through just spending time with you, they're pointing you to that. They're minding it like, oh, hey, man, I believe in you. I know you're new to this father thing, but I think you're going to be a great dad. Hey, I know you're new to this job, but you can do it, man. I believe in you. This is what encouragers do in our lives. You know, a little bit later, Paul is writing about his own experience. He realizes, I had a radical transformation. And as Paul writes about that, it's interesting how it's really implied the impact that Barnabas had in his life because of his encouragement. This is what Paul says in Galatians. He says, "For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man." I want to just stop there. What Paul was talking about is the fact that after he had that experience of Jesus on the road, he went for a period of time into the desert, and he was taught directly by God. He was taught directly by Jesus. So he's saying, I didn't go through some vouching system. It wasn't like this person mentored me and that person mentored me, and that was the credibility with which I went into these cities. So he's recognizing that there was skepticism about that because of the way his radical transformation happened. But he goes on to say, later, I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. They praised God because of this radical transformation that happened in Paul. My question is, how did they hear that report? They heard it from Captain Encouragement. They heard it from the son of encouragement as Barnabas began to advocate for Paul, as he began to go to bat for Paul, as he began to encourage his friend. Word spread that, hey, this guy, yeah, he's a changed man. And that was the role that the son of encouragement, Barnabas, had in the life of Paul. And if you have a friend who encourages you that way, that's a great friendship. That's an everyday friend. And I'm blessed because I have people in my life like that. In fact, I talked about a friend of mine who went to bat for me several years ago, and it's the reason why I'm on staff today. Well, we're still in relationship. We're still in friendship. And one of the things he just did recently to demonstrate his love is decided to carve out this whole weekend so that he could be up here and interact with me a little bit. So he also has a great first name. His name is also Chuck. So join me, everybody, in welcoming up Chuck Moore. Let me start with the obvious, because clearly looking at us, it's clear that we would be everyday friends, I'm sure. There's no differences at all.
Same age.
Similar age, yeah. You know, I grew up in a 3-bedroom row house in Philadelphia, and Chuck grew up in a 29-room mansion in New England. So, I mean, we were meant to be connected for sure, but actually, and this is kind of an inside joke around here, we knew we were meant to be everyday friends when we realized we share a special love for a very rare, not very easy to find, cologne that we both still wear. So the joke around staff when we go in and out of rooms is, who just left? Was it Chuck or was it Chuck?
Right. It's hard to find. I mean, a couple of Christmases ago, I think I gave you a gift.
Oh, you hooked me up.
Christmas is coming. I'm going to have to hook you up again.
You hooked me up, yes. And we have the inside market, so we will not reveal the name. But hey, one of the things in terms of encouragement, thank you for being here this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I know Chuck cares about me and is an encourager in my life because I know you were freezing this whole weekend. Chuck is very cold-natured, and I'm sure you're cold.
Not normally, but does anybody else feel like this place sometimes feels like a meat locker? I mean, give me a break. Yeah. I give you my coat, but I'm not. I need it. Yeah, that's all right.
I think you just gave voice to people who really wanted to say it for a long time.
That's right.
So. But somebody over there.
Can we catch this rug on fire?
Yes.
Anything.
We'll start a bonfire right here. But I should tell people how we got connected. So it started for me years and years ago, now, gosh, I guess 11 plus years ago, when I was in my first day at P&G. So one of the things we do share is our P&G history. Mm-hmm. And my first day at P&G, I'm at orientations at Camp Joy, for anybody who's been out there up north. And there's a guy who's given a talk about values and principles or something, and I just remember saying, there's something about this guy. There's a spiritual piece to this guy. And you didn't necessarily overtly say that, but I just remember leaving that saying, I'd love to get to know him. And so fast forward about 4 years later, my wife and I are in a marriage class here at Crossroads, and Chuck and his wife, Marty, are teaching it. And he gets up there, and I'm looking, I'm like, there's something familiar. He's, oh, and it just connected. And so pretty soon after that, I think it was, we got in relationship, and you and Marty really invited Maria and I into your lives, and it's been awesome. And I want to say publicly that, you know, if encouragers are about people who help you see a you that you have yet to see, you've done that for me. And I will say in no terms, I would not be the husband I am to Maria today. I would not be the father to my boys. I would not be the follower of Jesus had it not been for your encouragement in my life. And I just want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for being that to me.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you. Well, one of the things I saw in you was an incredible willingness, a willingness to grow, a willingness to kind of engage. You are a very passionate guy. You're passionate about reconciliation. You're passionate about people. You're passionate about your own life. And I really recognize that you had a deep desire to understand what it is that God could allow you to experience. The other thing I did see in you, too, was a level of pain and fear that I recognized.
Absolutely. And I know you talked about even being able to recognize that and knowing the power of encouragement came out of Barnabas's in your life. So just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I learned encouragement. I was not born into it. I definitely learned it first, I think, from a seventh grade English teacher. So all of you who are teachers, listen carefully. Yeah, unfortunately, I grew up in a family that was very chaotic. And in fact, my dad was not only distant from me, I think unfortunately and sadly, he was my enemy in so many ways. So when I was in seventh grade, I was a great student, but I was also filled with a lot of anger and frustration and fear. I was lost, and he just stepped into my life. And he gave me incredible encouragement, saw in me leadership, taught me adventure. I did things like climbed mountains in the winter and camped at tree line. Through the relationship with him, I broke 21 canoes, whitewater canoeing, the kinds of stuff that guys in high school, hey, guys need to make an impact. You build something or break something, whatever. So, yes, and he was the venue for that. In fact, my wife and I named our son after him. Such an impact he made. And I think in many ways, he actually allowed me to stay alive until I got married. So speaking of my wife, she was actually the next Barnabas in my life and an incredible impact on my life. In fact, she ought to be Saint Barnabas for what I put her through. She could have walked away from a marriage, I think, several times, but she saw something in me. She believed in the transforming power of God. She encouraged me through difficult times, and what we have today, I think, is because of her desire to be a Barnabas and be faithful in that.
Yeah. Actually, because of what she's done for you, I remember a couple years ago, Chuck saying something to me about marriage that really stuck. You said that I can love and encourage Maria into the extraordinary wife I want her to be.
Thank you. That comes off as wisdom. But it came off that way because I experienced the alternative. So you got that out of the blood of my wife. Yes, early on in our marriage, in the first 4 months, being a P&G guy, you mentioned P&G,
yes, yeah.
I thought what my wife really needed was a great manager. Lover, maybe, manager, yes. So, hey, strategic plans, goals, what did you get done? It didn't work, yeah, but being a young buck, I just was more brutal about the execution. So, yes. So I'm glad that came off as wisdom, but it came out of my bad learning. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, and you're demonstrating this now, but that's a key in our relationship. You have been very vulnerable. Brian talked last week about vulnerability and the voluntary disclose. And I think what's been so powerful about our relationship is you've let me into your life. You've let me into all of your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the pain. And I think what that's done is I've been allowed you into my life is when you encourage me, it is a spiritual act. You know, it's different when someone gives you general words of platitude. It's another thing when they know you well and they speak to your heart with encouragement, and you've been able to do that for me. And so I think we all would just benefit from hearing you say a little bit about how does that happen? How do you begin to initiate that in a friendship? Because you really did. You initiated that with me.
Yeah, I think what we were able to do, I think first, as I was able to get to know you, I realized I had things in my own life experience that could be of benefit. And I just, as I mentioned again, you were just so willing. What I loved about the video, huge impact, but two of the things is, you know, D'Artang and Leroy were open about their needs. They didn't hide their needs. And they were willing to really focus on a purpose. So I don't think D'Artang would have carried Leroy just to watch wrestling matches. I mean, they had a very specific purpose, as well as enjoying their friendship. Yeah. And what I loved about how we were able to kind of engage is, as I met you and you were open about some of your needs, is I think I had some life experiences that we could share for our mutual benefit. Mm-hmm. And the thing I risked, I guess, or we risked, is you're such a talented guy that I was not quite sure that you would be open or be willing. But you were. And so we were willing to get vulnerable, to understand our needs, to share it. Yes. And the thing that I think we did is we carved out time. So we meet more than this. Yes. But at absolute minimum, once a month, we spend a Friday morning just getting together with a purpose of sharing from our lives, sharing our pain, sharing our hope, sharing our combined wisdom and praying for one another. And I really do believe the final thing we do is we actually do something together. So guys in particular, you know, so we actually hike trails together. Actually, I took Chuck kayaking once. We didn't break anything, so unfortunately, but we're still working on that.
We got time.
It's early. We got time. The river's low. The rocks are up. So anyway, but we actually walk together, which allows us to feel like we're accomplishing something, but also I think makes it easier for us to open up about those parts of our lives that need to be shared. Yeah. And what I love about you is, and you encourage me, because as we do influence each other, and as we're growing, and I really believe that God has transformed me completely, yet I'm at the very beginning of my transformation. Mm-hmm. And your willingness to engage in this reminds me of that. Yeah. And so I just enjoy our time together terrifically. Look forward to every month because of it.
Yeah. Well, I do too, and I'll leave with this. You've already impacted the next generation of Mingos because my son Nathan, who's 3, regularly says to me, I want to go with you and your Chuck. So
right.
We're going out, which we've actually done once.
We did, yes. It was a shorter walk.
I remember
we were almost picking each other up on that one.
That was right.
I
just can't tell you enough. I love you so much. And for me, you know, one of the things that Paul says is follow me as I follow Jesus, which is a bold statement for him to make. Mm-hmm. And I understand that because I know that as I follow you, I'm following Jesus. You've meant that much to me. And so I love you and I just appreciate you so much.
Thanks, man.
For being a Barnabas.
Sure.
And you smell great, by the way. I thought I'd tell you that too. So, man, I am incredibly fortunate to have Chuck in my life. And one of the things that, and you see it just in interacting with him, one of the things that I think he models so well for me is that everyday encouragers are willing to take the low place in the friendship. There's just a humility about him that makes him approachable, that allows the encouragement to flow from him. And I think that's why encouragers are so powerful in our life is because they really live out what Paul says in Philippians 2. He's talking about encouragement in Philippians 2 again, and this is what he says. He says, if you have any encouragement, it's interesting, he uses that word. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And this is the part that I really think Chuck models, and I believe this is true of encouragers. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Everyday encouragers value the other in the relationship. And the reason they can do that, Chuck mentioned this a lot, is because they've been encouraged through their friendship with God. They've been encouraged simply through relationship with God. You know, what's interesting is what's not mentioned in the Bible. We don't know if someone encouraged Barnabas in this way. We don't know that. We don't know that at all. But even if there wasn't another person who did it, I think Barnabas took such encouragement from being a friend of Jesus, from being in relationship with Jesus, that out of that, he was able to give it away. I really believe that as we tap into and receive the friendship of Jesus, that encouragement increases our capacity to encourage others in this way. I think that's why Jesus put it like this. One of my favorite verses, Matthew 10:8, says, freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. As you receive this encouragement from friendship with God, you can freely give it away. You can give it away. So I want to give you 2 considerations as we wrap up. One, remember way, 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 way back, it was like 30 minutes ago now, a long time ago, I just asked you to ask God to bring somebody to mind, maybe a name, maybe an image. I want you to think about that person And here's what I'd like you to do. I think that's a person you can encourage this week. So I would just challenge you to not let the next 7 days go by without picking up the phone, writing a letter, spending time with that person, and telling them what they've meant to you. Maybe you pick up the phone and just say, hey, man, I just want you to know, I really, really love our friendship. I really appreciate the role you play in my life. Or maybe it's going to bat for them or encouraging them around something, saying, hey, man, I just want you to know I believe in you. I see growth in you, and I'm excited about that. Maybe it is just carving out that time and saying, dude, it's football season, so we're going to hang together and watch some games. I just want you to know I'm interested in hanging out, not just to watch football, but also to just grow together because I want to have a friendship with you where I can encourage you in any way that I can. Whatever that looks like, I just invite you to do that this week. Don't let the next 7 days go by without doing that. And one final challenge I want to give you is tying back to the strong challenge. I'm really excited about that 6 weeks coming up. It's going to be incredible for our community, and it's an incredible opportunity to encourage other people. If you step out and host a group, if you post online and have people come to your house or have people come to wherever you're gathering and post a group, I guarantee you, you'll be amazed at how you get to know people in just 6 weeks. And you'll be amazed as you watch what encouragement can mean in these home teams. As you're gathering together to encourage each other, you will see transformation happen right before your eyes. So I'm encouraging you to host, to step out and do that, whether you're brand new or whether you've been here for a long time. In fact, if you've been here for a long time, I want to give a special challenge to you. Maybe you've called Crossroads Home for a while and you've been a part of journeys in the past. You might even still be meeting with people that you had a small group with in one of those journeys. I want to challenge you to do what I feel prompted to do. I very much feel prompted to do this, and I want to share it with you. I meet with a group of guys every Wednesday morning, and it's about encouragement. And I love hanging out with them, and we just grow together. It's awesome. It's awesome. And so what we've decided to do for Strong for those 6 weeks is we're actually going to split. It's a group of six. We're going to split into two groups. We're going to meet at the same time. We meet at 7:15 in the morning on Wednesdays. We're still going to do that. Still going to be done right at 8:30. But what we're going to do for 6 weeks is split our group, and hopefully that will create space for 10 to 12 other guys to join us. Because we want mutual encouragement to happen. We want fresh perspective. We want guys that we may not know to just come in and be incorporated. And let's figure out for 6 weeks what it looks like to grow and spiritually strengthen each other together. So we're going to do that. And I'm just challenging you. If you're in a small group, if you're in what you might call a free group, or maybe you call it a reset group based on what journey you connected with, I'm encouraging you to split your group and create an opportunity for more people to be encouraged. Split your group, post your group online, and do that. I really believe it will unlock incredible spiritual potential in our community. And just imagine that. Imagine that kind of potential released on this city. Imagine that kind of potential released in families. Imagine that kind of potential released in businesses. Imagine what that will mean as we simply respond to this incredible privilege that God gives us to encourage each other. So let's pray. God, I'm just praying that, A, we would be encouraged, that we would recognize that this is the kind of friendship you want for us. And so even for folks who are at the very, very beginning of asking some of those questions about you and relationship with you, I pray that they would see you as an encourager, that they would see you as someone who wants to boost them up. And God, I also pray that we would not miss opportunities to be this kind of friend. We wouldn't miss opportunities to give voice to the way you think about people, to the things you want people to know about you and about how you see them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So thanks for coming, everybody. As you leave, I just want to leave you with a blessing. May you be encouraged this week, and may you be an encourager of your friends. Thanks for coming.